Hello, and thank you for listening. Today, I'm going to talk about the Anderson versus Anderson custody case that was in Rutherford County today, Courtroom 3, and hopefully you've already read the words that I wrote about it, the synopsis. When I got there, the first thing I saw was Jack Stewart going over the first custody order that Judge Laura Powell signed into effect. The main point of that custody order that I remember, I was there when she signed it. It was handwritten, and it says, neither party, speaking of Nick or Sarah, shall subject the child, Aiden, or allow anyone else who subject the child to abuse, including yelling, shaking, striking, or any form of physical abuse. And so Jack Stewart, the attorney for Sarah Anderson, one of his opening statements was, and I'd heard this, that he had filed a contempt of court order alleging that this part of the custody agreement had been violated. So that was the opening statement. Nick went on the stand, and oh, it was a flowery picture that he painted. He was asked about his time with Aiden. He was asked about what trips they take. Oh, we go to museums. We go to any place there's water. We go to, he mentioned a couple other places. We have play times. We have lots of play toys. When asked to describe his house, he first talked about the chandeliers. And unless you're hanging from them and playing on them, I'm not sure why he would mention that first. He was asked, in his time with Aiden, had he had to discipline him, correct him? And this is not a quote, but this is pretty much what he said. He said, oh, there's been a couple of times that I put him in time out, but never for more than 30 seconds. So in 3 years, in that environment, he's corrected his son or given him 2 timeouts. He talked about his schedule now, that he works at Integrity Marble and Granite as a supervisor, and he oversees all the projects that come into that business. He said he goes to work about 8, gets home about 5, spends as much time as he can, gets home early on Monday before he has to take Aiden back to Sarah. He painted this rosy picture that they're happy all the time, that everything's great and everything's wonderful. But before Jack Stewart got to him, he was questioned by his own attorney. And my observations are that his attorney didn't quite understand the subculture, because there were a couple of questions that he asked Nick, and Nick had not been prepared for, and he got a blank look on his face. The questions, I think, had to do with how do you feel about a certain thing, or how do you believe about a certain thing. And Nick was faced that inner conflict on the inside, where he was answering, had to answer the question with facing the Word of Faith crowd that was in the gallery. Oh, and let's mention who was there. Well, Brooke was there. And these people may have come and gone during the day, so let's give you the attendance roll. Tanya Gross, Ramona Hall. Well, I came back from lunch and caught Ramona Hall's eyes, and she looked at me like she had just thrown up in her mouth, like she had just had pickle juice. I don't know why Ramona did that. There was a young Schlabach girl. I'm sorry, I don't remember her name. Josh Valentine and his wife. David Calder and his wife, Daniela, she actually testified. Patty Dolan, Rafael Pagan, Sean, the secret agent Smotherman. He follows people around, believe me. Ashley Sutherland McGee. And if I missed your name, Larry King. If I missed your name, it's nothing on purpose. If you want me to mention you the next time, just stop by my seat when I'm in the courtroom, and I'll be sure to write your name down. Nick painted a picture with his attorney that was this loving, caring, always excited. He pictured a flowery picture. Then he gets to Jack. Jack Stewart gets him under cross-exam. I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but the result of the cross-exam was Nick didn't know what blasting was. And then there were other questions where Jack would say, during your testimony, you said this. Is that true? Yes. And then he would pull out the deposition from a year ago. And he would say, look at page so-and-so. Look at page 200. Look at page 40. Look at page 60. Tell me what your answer to that question was at that time. And there were several times when this young man, I say he's younger than me, when this young man not only didn't know what blasting was, he didn't remember what he said a year ago. So in my estimation, his credibility was flushed down the toilet. He had no credibility because he kept changing the answer to his questions. It was one thing a year ago in a deposition, which maybe he did not know would come back and be put in his face in court. Maybe he didn't know that. Maybe he wasn't prepared for that. I'll give him that. But he had no credibility. Absolutely none. Now, one of the things I mentioned in the write-up was that in his original complaint, he asked for joint custody. No, excuse me, primary custody first and then joint custody if necessary. Today, they were qualifying the request for joint custody. When Jack Stewart started asking Nick if he thought that there was any problem with Aiden living in one set of beliefs in his when he was with Nick and another set of beliefs when he was with Sarah, he said, oh, no, like, that's fine. That's perfectly fine with me. And one of the questions Jack Stewart asked him was, do you celebrate Mother's Day? Or you don't celebrate any holidays, do you? It came out, the way I remember it, was on Mother's Day, Nick did not put Aiden on the phone to talk to his mother. And he thought that was perfectly fine. Again, his credibility was zero. Now, there were a parade of other witnesses that came through on the plaintiff's behalf. Patty Dolan testified, and her one of the main problems was when Jack Stewart asked her what was blasting. She said, well, I know what you think blasting is. He said, that's not my question. My question is, what is blasting to you? And she looked like a deer in the headlights. Allison Dolan got on the stand. She called herself Nick's sister. Oops, half-sister, stepsister. She called Patty Dolan her mom. Oops, stepmother. These things were pointed out. She works in the Cleveland County Labor and Delivery area, and that's where Word of Faith decides to have all their babies. So there's no shock and no surprise there. Through the course of the day, Larry King got on the stand and he humbly gave his credentials. He was very warm and friendly. And when it came to corporal punishment, he said he'd never done it in North Carolina, never administered corporal punishment in North Carolina. After the session, I get a parent outside telling me that in 2002 that he called her and said that he had just administered corporal punishment to one of her sons. So maybe it was so far ago, long ago, he didn't remember it. Daniela, well, let me back up. The general theme was there were different answers from these Word of Faith witnesses as to what blasting is. Daniela, she said blasting could be loud, it could be soft, it could be singing. She gave the standard answer. And the beautiful thing about her testimony was she tied together the interest of the Brazilian churches and the Word of Faith churches. That was such a great thing. Her parents were doctors, and Dr. Pat Pachter was a doctor, and she talked about coming in 2006 and how the churches were related. It was beautiful. Somewhere in the proceedings, the judge made a statement kind of odd. He said, I pretty much know the way I'm going on this unless I hear something else pertinent or extreme. That's not a direct quote. Then he had understood where he was going. Now I want to talk about Sarah's testimony. Let me back up. Shanna Muse was called. And Shanna Muse didn't hold anything back. She was honest about her past. And Nick's attorney put her to the test with this question. How can you convince the court lapse back into drug use or alcohol abuse? And she said, I have my children back in my life. I have two grandchildren that are beautiful. I have no reason but to be happy. I was very proud of Shanna. My next set of notes are about Sarah's testimony. Now, when Nick was talking about he had all this time, free time to spend with his son. From what I understand, that's the weekends. Sarah said that before she left the church, he was gone long hours. he worked and worked and worked, and she took care of Aiden. Does that sound familiar? There was a question brought up whether or not there's a children's church or a separate place for young children to go, and Sarah said that you go there to change a diaper, and then you're told you need to come back. Now, the next part of Sarah's testimony, and I took notes. I've got a few quotes, but I'm going to be paraphrasing some of it. But she outlined three incidences of abuse with her son Aiden that prompted her to realize she cannot stay in that environment. There was no children's church, and so she said that when Aiden was crying in a service one time, Jane was yelling and said, "Bring Aiden to me." And she demonstrated holding Aiden up with her hands under the armpits, under the arms of Aiden, and screaming in his face as loud as she could. Jack Stewart asked her, "What was Aiden doing at this time?" And she said, "Crying hysterically." Is anybody surprised that's ever been there? She said one time, Jane announced, "I'm going to show you what the sin nature is. Bring me Aiden." So she blasted him. Is blasting a regular thing? And so Sarah was asked, how often did it happen to where Jane would take Aiden aside and blast him? And she said about once a week. And then she said about 3 or 4 months later, during one of the evening services, Brooke took Aiden and was screaming at him, pushing his abdomen, pushing his head down to his feet. Here's a quote. She said, Brooke said, "He has resisting devils." And then she laid him flat and kept pushing on his head, crying. He was crying as loud as he could for a 3 or 4 month old. She was asked, "Could you have taken him?" Her response was, "I was fearful it would be worse for him if I tried to intercede." And she didn't use the word intercede. She tried to help. She said, "I told Brooke, I offered him a bottle. Maybe he's hungry." Brooke took him to a bathroom away from her where she couldn't see, but she peeked through the door. She said there was another time when they were living in the Covington home when Aiden was crying. And Brooke did the same thing. She pushed down on his head, turned him over, and then pushed his head again and kept the child away from her for the rest of the night. And then she talked about another incident in May or June of 2015. She said she taught in the school. If Aiden was crying in the school, there was one incident where he was crying and she took him and she did the same thing. She blasted him, holding his arms down by his side, pushing his forehead with her hand. And then in the courtroom, Sarah demonstrated that. She left for about 10 or 15 minutes, said, "I got to go teach a class," came back and resumed the blasting. This was in 2015. She said she had perversion for him, Jane said of Sarah. She said that there was another incident where they were blowing in his face, shaking him, putting him in Brooke's lap, and slapping his hands away if he tried to do something, like any young child would do to defend himself. And they forced her to leave. She peeked through the door. It lasted about 45 minutes and described this blasting. And Sarah said it as loud as you can scream, and there was shaking and hitting. And this is a quote, "If I tried to stop and I was asked to leave, not permitted to get my child." She recounted another incident where Jane Whaley was hitting and punching Aiden in the stomach, pointed finger, maybe 5 minutes or so, hands him to Brooke. And at this time, Aiden was reaching for Sarah, crying for his mommy. I'll have to tell you that of the testimonies that came forth today, this was the most heart-wrenching to hear her describe the abuse of her son. "I wanted to go and get him, but I was scared it would be worse for him. I did not know what to do," she said. She said when she relayed the events to Nick, he said, "You need to talk to Jane. I'm not leaving this church." It wasn't, "How can we help Aiden? How can we stop this from happening to him?" He said, "I'm not leaving the church. they had a discussion. I'm not agreeing to go back to church. There was a point in the session where Sarah admitted recording Nick for 18 minutes on a trip they took. She converted the transcripts through an app and printed them out in an Excel spreadsheet. Now, Nick's attorney said, well, we provide text message screen prints and you could manipulate this Excel spreadsheet. Here's an attorney whose client has just had his credibility flushed down the toilet because he won't admit that he knows what blasting is, because maybe he's afraid he'll be asked to demonstrate. I don't know. And then he's doubting a lady who's saying about her child being abused. It was ironic. So there was this conversation that was recorded for 18 minutes, and the transcript was given to the defense, to the plaintiff's attorney, and to the judge. The key point was, during the discussion, Nick was not concerned about the safety of Aiden. He called Jane and told Sarah, you're not to go home, you're not to go to the church, you need to talk to Jane, you're barred from our house, you're barred from the church, you're barred from Brooks, you're not permitted to come back. So Sarah began to talk about what happened after she left, where Nick kept Aiden on a weekend that they had agreed that he could have Aiden and wouldn't give him back, and then he filed the papers that are mentioned. And Sarah was saying, let's just have dinner together. She talked about her insurance being canceled that had been through the church, but Aiden's was not, hers was. She was given no notice. There are a lot of emotions in that courtroom. There were a lot of emotions in that courtroom today. And this is not over. This is coming back on the stage Thursday at 9:00 in the morning. And yes, Sarah is going to have to face cross-examination and recross, and there'll be other witnesses. This is the result of a closed religious subculture trying to appear normal. I hope you enjoy this format. I felt like it was important for people to understand and to hear a recount of Sarah's testimony of her son being abused inside a Word of Faith by the two of the leaders, Jane Whaley, Brooke Covington. Now, it's her testimony. She was under oath, and she'll be cross-examined, so there'll be part two of this. Leave your comments at the bottom. Tell me how you like this format. Because there's so much more information that I can convey through an audio file, I'm considering going forward doing this on a regular basis.